Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to talk about having conversations, and sometimes I guess we do put our feet in our mouth. How can we avoid that? How can we have healthy conversations? And the basis for that comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, where it says, "Speak the truth in love." Dear friends, when should we be silent? When should we speak up? You know, that's an age-old question. Ancient cultures, all kinds of philosophies, religions have actually struggled and discussed that exact topic. And so we want to think about that. When should we remain silent? When should we speak up? Now, some people will say, you can find lots of books and probably relatives too. I'll share one of mine. Some people say that you should always be silent, that when you're silent, it's best. It's going to work out very well for you. Maybe you heard that when you were in school, that just when the professor's teaching, just nod your head and act like you know what they're talking about. And by doing that, you'll look very intellectual and smart and kind of look, you know, do one of these and be silent. Don't say anything. It'll go well. Religions have said silence is the way to go. Judaism during the time of Jesus in the Talmud, those are the kind of the interpretations of the Hebrew Bible. There are lots of writings in the Talmud that said the taming of the tongue was the greatest of all virtues. Remain silent is what it said during the time of Jesus. And Christianity has had movements within itself in which there have been silent retreats and silent movements to grow deeper spirituality with God. Silence. Maybe even you have a relative that has taught silence, that silence is the best way to go. My grandfather, when we went over to his house, he'd always say, "Children are to be," how does it go? Your grandpa told you that too, right? Yeah? He meant it lovingly, but then when you were loud or something across the rest of the house, he'd say a little more sternly, "Children are to be seen and not heard," he'd say. You know, when you look at the historical record of people who spoke out, for many people it didn't go very well. People like Martin Luther King Jr., people like Abraham Lincoln, people like the Apostle Paul, they spoke out and they were killed for what they believed. So there's a lot of people that say the best thing to do is just to be silent, be quiet, and you'll survive. It'll go better for you. But is silence always golden? It's not. Silence can actually be very deadly. The story that I'm thinking about is actually the fall of in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. You know how we traditionally think of the Garden of Eden as it was the woman's fault. Don't we say that? She heard the words of the serpent, right? And then she tricked Adam and got him to eat the fruit. That's actually not what the Bible says. Genesis 3 verse 6 says this, "Eve took the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam," a little phrase here, "who was with her, and he ate it." See, Adam was with her the entire time. Adam heard the command from God, "Do not eat from that tree." Adam heard the little dilemma that Eve was in as the serpent was talking to her. But Adam was whistling in the background, acting like he didn't know what was happening. And then Adam saw how Eve was, he saw the situation and he consciously came to a decision to remain silent and not say anything. So Eve's a trickster, but Adam is just as bad. He's silent in this whole episode in Genesis chapter 3. You know, maybe you can relate. Can you think of a time in which you remained silent, or you knew someone that was silent when they should have spoken up and it turned out very badly for you? Yeah? I know I have. So we think that silence is a way to go. Not always. Sometimes silence can be very deadly. And Adam's decision affected him, it affected Eve, affected all of us. That's the original sin, the teaching of the church. It's infected all generations. Silence did that. Now, there's some people on the other end of the spectrum that say you should always speak your mind and have no filter and just let it out. Be bold. How has that worked for you? Yeah? Okay. That gets us into trouble as well. Think of the disciples. They were these followers of Jesus. They were ones who, they spoke their mind. I love them, but they just had to share what was going through their mind. Think about some of these episodes. And I'm doing a little hyperbole, but it's pretty close to the way the Gospels present it and the ordering. Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, my kingdom is going to be different. In order for you to be special, you're going to have to be the last. The last will be first, and the first will be last in my kingdom, and you need to be servants. I don't think the disciples were listening when Jesus said this, because the very next thing that they do is this. James and John blurt out the first thing that comes into their minds. They say to Jesus, can my brother be on your right-hand side, and can I be on your left-hand side in your kingdom to come? And Jesus just hits his head. We don't know if he hit his head, but he was not, he must have been thinking, these guys don't listen, they just blurt off the first thing and they act very rashly. Happens again with Peter. Jesus says throughout the Gospels, he says, Peter, listen, in fact, write it down, Peter. I have come to die so that people can live. That's my mission. And when Jesus is being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter blurts out, and he acts rashly. The first thing he does is he wants to stop the mission of Jesus dying. He pulls his sword out, and he attacks the soldier and lops off his ear. Can you relate to the disciples this morning? Have you ever put your foot in your mouth by speaking out when you probably shouldn't have? I hope so. I think we all... Greg, thank you for your honesty, raising your hand. Was Sue pinching you during that? No? All right. Age-old question, all religions, all of them, philosophies, countries, there's a tension. When do you remain silent? When do you speak out? How do you balance that? How do you do it? Some of us have a strategy. It's called our spouse's foot. I would not suggest going with that strategy. You're sitting with your friend and talking to them, and your spouse is there, and you're silent, and have you ever gotten the kick? Speak up. Or have you ever spoken and relied on your spouse to kick you again? Be quiet. We need something more. We need something more than just being silent. We need something more than just speaking out whenever we want to. And we need something more than our spouse's foot, okay? We can't just rely on our spouse being around us all the time. And we can't rely on getting bruises on our shins. Listen to the words from Paul, Ephesians chapter 4. Here's a way to do it. If you want to balance attention and know when to speak well and the right time, speak the truth in love, Paul says. Truth, there's actually three parts to this. Truth, but don't just speak the truth alone. That can get you in trouble. Love, but it can't just be warmy, loving feelings without some punch, some substance, some truth behind it. But there's a third thing here that's behind the text. Paul, when he's talking about the body of Christians, he's really saying this. Speak the truth in love, but make sure that you cultivate relationships, that you care for the person that you're talking with. So if you do those three things, you're probably going to come to a good conclusion on what you should do, silent or speak. Truth, love, and cultivate a relationship. You know how important it is to cultivate a relationship with someone that you're speaking with well before you speak the truth in love. See, some people actually use this text, speak the truth in love, as a weapon. I'm going to speak the truth in love and go at that person. That is not what this text is saying. This text is saying cultivate a relationship, then speak the truth in love. The expectation that we have is that when we speak to someone, they're going to listen and take everything that we say to them as if it's the gospel. The expectation is that the people that we talk to, they're going to have the same interests that we are going to have. The expectation is that they listen and that they're going to agree and take in every word that we have for them. But friends, why should anyone listen to anything that we have to say? We haven't cultivated a relationship. Why should they? Why should we expect to share Jesus in the community here if we haven't cultivated a friendship or relationship? If we haven't considered their story and where they've come from, their joys, their struggles, their background, what they've gone through, and once we do that, then we can speak the truth in love. You know, friends, Jesus had the perfect balance in his life on so many different things. Just take a look at balance and all the people that existed that have lived on earth. Jesus had it perfect. There were times that he was silent, and it worked. In the mornings, he would go and pray. There, before Pontius Pilate, he's quiet. There are times in which Jesus spoke, and it was jarring to people, and they grinded their teeth. They didn't like what he had to say, and it worked. There are times in your walk with Jesus in which Jesus is going to be silent. He's not going to speak to you all the time. There are going to be times in which Jesus is going to say a sharp word to correct you. It works. It works. His silence and his speaking out works, and there's a reason why it works. No one else in the world can do it. Only Jesus. It's because he cultivated a relationship with you. Jesus Christ came into this world, was born under our circumstances, born to Joseph and Mary, born there in the manger. He learned our perspective, our struggles that we go through, our joys, our challenges. Then Jesus took a position to be our greatest neighbor and friend, to cultivate a relationship with us. He went to the cross and died for our sins. He got nothing out of it. He got nothing. He did it to pay for your sins because he loves you. So when we hear his silence, or we hear him speak loudly in a way to correct us, I obey you, Lord. I'm with you. We always say that because he cultivated a relationship with us first. Jesus embodied the truth in love. You know, have you ever met someone that embodies something? It's like they're radioactive. You know, they just have something going off of them. You see it with sports fans, right? There are some people that bleed black and orange. They don't even wear a shirt. They don't even, like, talk about the team. You can just, you're around them, and it's just like, wow, they're Oregon State Beaver fans. Do we have any of those that just bleed? Lucy, you just bleed black and orange? Bill, you bleed black and orange. I know it. All right. Some people bleed green and yellow. It's possible. They embody it. They're so saturated with it that you just can't help. But it just comes off of them.
And we pray for them.
Pray for your enemies. Yes. Very good. You know, all right, now I'm going to get heavy with you here on the Greek text here. The Greek text does not actually say, speak the truth in love. You know what it says? It's a hard translation. It doesn't say anything about speaking. It says embody truth and love. Let it be saturated in truth and love. Don't use it as a weapon to go out and tell people what to do. It says embody yourself with truth and love. Then when a situation comes your way, you'll know what to do. Maybe it is silence. Maybe it is speaking a word. But it's cultivating that relationship and being radioactive with truth and love. Then whatever you do will influence and be a blessing to others. So there you have it. The age-old question, should we be silent? Should we speak? Our guideline today is what Jesus did. Love, truth. And he cultivated relationships, and he embodied it in his life. Friends, we have a much better weapon for speaking than our spouse's foot. We can speak the truth in love. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for the joy that you bring to us and the conversations you bless us with. I thank you for the influence that we can bring to people's lives as we cultivate relationship. We speak the truth in love. May that be done in a special way to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.